So the Huffington Post and the Franklin Project have decided that it is upon you, incumbent upon you, that you serve a year for a cause that they will determine. They will determine the worthiness of various causes that will allow you to fulfill your obligation to serve for a year. Ellen Kazay, who is the multi-millionaire guy who went to Harvard, just like all the common people do, so he knows what's best for the common people, formed a charity while at Harvard with his roommate, as everybody does when they're in college. It's amazing the children of privilege know what's best for you and your children and society, the arrogance that comes with that. Maybe they should take Arrogance 101 off the required course list. Make it, not available as a minor anymore. Anyway, he sat down with some emo kid over at the Huffington Post whose name is irrelevant. He makes videos for them. And they had a little discussion about the idea of compulsory volunteerism, essentially, indentured servitude, 1 year of national service.
The vision is that a year of full-time national service should become a common expectation and common opportunity for all young people as a new civic rite of passage, as a way to tap their energy and idealism, solve big problems, build the sense that we're all in this together, and get big things done. And this is really the launch of the whole effort. We've been working on it for almost a year, and we're very excited about what's going to happen here tonight and tomorrow.
We are the Borg. If you do not surrender, we will destroy your ship. You will be assimilated. Resistance is futile. Is a rite of passage. A rite of passage. That's the language in which they couch their fascism is very creative. You've got to give them that. But underneath it all, it is fascism nonetheless. You belong to the state. And you have to get another year of indoctrination for government-approved enterprises. By the way, we'll only have to, raise taxes on everybody to compel this and pay for this, but it's good. It's good for everybody. This is how they couch it. This is how the president's couching global warming. We're saving the planet for the children. Why do you hate the planet and the children? All I want to do is raise the price of everything that you have, but it's for the children, you heartless bastard. And they label people who look at the science and say, wait a second, this doesn't add up. There are people who come up with different results, and they call them climate deniers, just like Holocaust deniers. There's very specific word choice for a very deliberate reason, but he wasn't done just pontificating about what's best for you and yours.
People are so frustrated that Washington has become so dysfunctional and nothing seems to get done, and they're seeing national service as a way to instill that ethic. I mean, we revere the greatest generation. Now, that was 60, 75 years ago. Now, why do we revere them? Because they served and sacrificed together. Through the Depression, through World War II, they were all in it together. And that generation, has left a legacy ever since. We think that if we could establish this rite of passage, every generation will become a greatest generation.
The greatest generation, they served and suffered together through the Depression and World War II. Yeah, they went through hell together. They went through hell together and they fought through it together by themselves. They did it. It was a collective movement of self. The government came in and said, hey, we're going to institute national service. We're going to have all these programs. And that did nothing but worsen the Great Depression. It was only the war and the threat to liberty that they held so dear that brought them all together and brought the country out of the Depression. The idea, the bastardizing of history is unprecedented, except for when you're dealing with progressives. They can't look at history and learn from it because history of their ideas is nothing but a wasteland. But he wasn't done talking to the little emo kid over at Huffington Post.
Paint for us the picture. 20 years from now, the Franklin Project is a tremendous success. What is our society like? What's the domino effect like as a result of people having each served at least a year?
Well, first of all, I think young people will see themselves differently as leaders. I mean, people I often say, well, you're the future leaders. I don't believe that. I've been working with young people my whole life, as young as 12, 13, and seeing in the City Years Young Heroes program, and seeing what they can do. So first of all, young people will see that they're leaders right from the beginning, that they don't have to wait till they finish college or start a career or get settled.
Or accomplish anything or learn anything. You're leaders. We're building a generation of high self-esteem, no accomplishment people who think they're entitled to things. And so you end up with government programs that give them things that are entitlement programs. Hey, I deserve this. Existing is not an accomplishment. It's what you do while you exist that is an accomplishment, that are accomplishments. And those accomplishments click together like Lego pieces, help build who you are as a person. And this is where the progressives come in. They want to become those Lego pieces. They want to influence who you and your children are and who they become.
Third, you will see an ongoing generation solving problems, whether it's problems in education like the high school dropout crisis or preserving our environment or fighting poverty. And not only that, they bring new ideas and new techniques and new energy. So I think you'll see that. I think you will see that it may be that you can't run for political office if you haven't served first. And think of how that will change things. People will say, well, where did you serve?
Well, where did you serve? Oh, you didn't? Well, then to hell with you. You're not a human being. They want to not only create this indoctrination machine, they want to attach a stigma to refusing to be a part of it. And that's how they get you. You're not one of the group. And if you're not one of the group, just like if you don't agree with them, lockstep down, no matter what the issue, you are evil, you are wrong, you are corrupt, you need to be ostracized from society. We see that with free thinkers all the time. There's nothing free thinking about the progressive movement. Speaking of nothing free thinking, Maria Shriver was there, because what would be an event of millionaire and billionaires without another millionaire? She was born into the Kennedy clan and to Sergeant Shriver, who was also filthy rich. Maria Shriver has worked as a quote-unquote journalist, but she's never had to work. She's never had to worry about meeting a bill. She married Arnold Schwarzenegger. That tells you all you need to know about her judgment. But this is the mentality of these people, these entitlement people. This is the polluted mind of a filthy, rich liberal. She also talked to an emo kid from Huffington Post.
And you know what I loved is that you said you almost framed it as though you joked a little bit, that your parents didn't give you a choice. They just kind of took initiative. They just started sending you around the world when you were younger. And now it's all happening again with you and your kids.
That's right.
What do you make about that cycle?
Well, I think it's really important. I think parents have a huge impact on the careers their children choose. And I think you can, at a very young age, begin to bring your children along with service opportunities. You can talk to them about people who live very different lives than the lives they live. You can have them volunteer at food banks. You can have them do cancer walks. You can have them go play the piano in Alzheimer's homes. There's so many different forms of service. And I think if you start kids young, it stays with them for the rest of their life. And I was a beneficiary of that.
I'm not sure on which planet she was born, but it must be nice. I just wonder what color the sky is. People cannot afford. People are busy living their lives. They can't take the time to compel their children. People work for a living, Maria Shriver. I realize that concept is foreign to you, but she is asked about, you know, well, redefine success. This is cut 31, I believe. Or no, cut 32. Let's listen to Maria Shriver redefine success for you.
I find it, and I wrote an article about this several years ago, about the need to redefine what success is, and everybody thinks it's the corner office. I think it's actually being able to have time in your life to do the things you find meaningful. So for me, I define success as having time to connect with each of my children. I define success as having friends that I can lean on and that I can reach out to. I define success that in my work I have been able to build a family of people that we work together and we find meaningful work in publishing the Shriver Report. I find my journalism gives me a feeling of that I connect to the people whose stories I'm telling. I use myself as a messenger.
This is the arrogance and ignorance of someone who's never had to work. She works as a way to pass time, as a hobby. But she knows what's best for you because she read Oliver Twist. She knows what it's like to be poor because she saw a movie once about it. That is the